You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. I want to talk to you today about a fascinating verse in Bible prophecy where it does imply that the Ark of the Covenant is going to be found in this end time. Now, we've seen many movies and documentaries about the Ark, although not a lot recently. People don't talk about it very much. They don't know very much about it. But we have seen those movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark. And people talk about that, perhaps. But the people in this world do not know where the Ark is. But I believe that the Bible and Irish history do tell us where it is, that is, the nation that it is in, not very specifically where, but in the nation where that Ark is today. And what does that have to do with us? What does it have to do with you? If you look at Jeremiah 30, verses 1 through 9, you can see that Jeremiah is clearly a book for this end time. It was written only for the end time, Jeremiah says, in his own book. So today I want to just focus mainly on one scripture in that book, Jeremiah 3 and verse 16. And it states there that just right in this end time, people are going to be talking about that ark. Many people are going to be talking about it, and they're not doing that today. So what does that mean? Well, the ark was a symbol of God's own presence in ancient Israel. It was a symbol of God's throne and God's rule, and He even spoke from that ark, which was located in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. So that's the Old Testament as we look at it, or the Hebrew Bible. So the ark being found today obviously is going to electrify many people in this world because they do believe in that Bible, or at least believe in it to some extent. But let's take a look at Jeremiah 3 in verse 12, and we'll get a little background on this verse 16. Verse 12 beginning, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, 'Return, you backsliding Israel,' says the Eternal." Again, it's to Israel. "And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, says the Eternal, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Eternal. Turn, O backsliding children, says the Eternal, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Now, God is only married to His church, spiritual Israel, not the nations of Israel. That was in the Old Testament times. But today God is talking specifically to His church, that is spiritual Israel. You can see that, His wife, Revelation 19 and verse 7. And this is the time frame here is just before the great tribulation and the day of the Lord and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the church, His own church, is backsliding against Him. But He does have a little remnant where He'll take one from a city and two from a family and deliver this message that I'm talking to you about today. So there is a church crisis, a crisis in God's own church. Now notice verse 16, that key verse we're talking about today. "And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Eternal, they shall say no more, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord." Now we're moving into the world tomorrow when Christ is here. They're going to be saying that no more about the Ark of the Covenant. "Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered into it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. So that is obviously a time when Jesus Christ is ruling, but it comes just after the Ark of the Covenant was found and visited and remembered. And then when Christ gets here, well, of course, that's all going to change. At first you had a church, God's own church, in a crisis, and the little remnant was proclaiming God's message in that Laodicean era that is called in the Bible. And then comes the tribulation and the day of the Lord. And that's shortly after the church crisis. And then immediately after that comes the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. So it's all tied together. It's all one package. That's what Jeremiah is showing us. But let's go back to verse 16, and I want to examine that verse a little more carefully. Verse 16, and remember, if you look at verse 14, you can see that God's church was backsliding, so that was just before the tribulation and the day of the Lord. And then it leads into a time when, well, Christ is going to be ruling. And notice what it says. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Eternal, they shall say no more the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They were saying it. Well, they're not saying it right now, but there's coming a time when they're going to be saying it according to this scripture, according to this prophecy. But then Christ is going to say, well, when I get there, they're not going to say that anymore. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind. It won't even come to mind because, well, Christ is ruling the earth and there's no longer a need for a symbol of God because He's here in person. And then it goes on to say, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it. Key expression, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. Now, the time frame here again is a crisis in God's church leading into the tribulation, the day of the Lord, and the second coming of Christ. And it's all one package. It's all coming together. You can prove that by writing for our booklet on Jeremiah. And of course, all of our literature is free. But God says they're not even going to remember it then. They're not going to remember it because, well, it's no longer needed. God is on this earth ruling Himself. But the shocker is, God says, you're not even going to visit anymore. Do you know any place where they visit the ark? But He says, and this is an end time setting, there's going to be a time in the end when they're going to be visiting the ark. It's kind of like it's created a world sensation. People are visiting it like it's a tourist attraction or a tourist site. And that's just before the tribulation, and maybe God is going to use it for a witness. And I think there's a lot of evidence that that is the way it is. But God emphasizes this just before the tribulation, and many people are going to be actually even visiting the ark according to that prophecy. I don't see how you can understand it any other way. And many people remembered it. Many people visited it. And God, it's this tourist attraction. God says, that's not going to happen anymore after the tribulation and the day of the Lord and my second coming. Then it's not going to happen. It's all going to be stopped. Now today, you know that the ark is rarely discussed. You'll see a documentary occasionally about it where they're looking for it or something like that, or maybe a movie, but they never find it. they never find it, because I think that's very much a part of God's plan. It is not time to be found, but it is, according to this prophecy, certainly by implication, going to be found in this end time, just before the Great Tribulation. If you look at the word visit, it's number 6485 in Strong's. It means to visit, to inspect, to review. Like, and also number two definition, an overseer, to be set over. So that certainly indicates to me that that ark is going to be found. Now, nobody today knows really where it is, except the Bible and Irish history reveal where it is today as far as the nation is concerned. And I'm going to show you that. But this is talking about a time we're living in right now. And God is going to be very dramatic in a lot of things He does to try to warn this world of the great tribulation and the day of the Lord just before His second coming. If you remember Bible prophecy, you know that Jesus Christ concludes the day of the Lord. And He's warning the world about the terrible times that are coming because of their sin, because of their evil. And God is about to put a stop to that forever. And that's the good news, and that's the news we really need to focus on. But Jesus Christ said we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that includes Jeremiah. Every word. Do we have the faith to believe in every word of God? Do we have that kind of faith? See, this could be, this Ark of the Covenant could be a powerful witness to this world. And I'll show you in a moment that Jeremiah brought the Ark of the Covenant along with the Stone of Destiny. And the Bible says that Stone of Destiny, and we know where it is today, it's in Scotland. And God says it's going to be a witness against you. Well, maybe the Ark is as well. You can read that in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. But it could lead people to repentance, and certainly could have some heavy impact on that great multitude that's going to come out of the Great Tribulation in repentance. They're going to know very quickly that God's message was right and that it was being proclaimed, and they heard it and didn't act on it. But they'll know in the Great Tribulation to do something about it, and God will give them repentance and bring them out of that Great Tribulation. And what a joyful time that will be. But where is the Ark? Where is it? And why is it so important to Jeremiah? Well, let me just quickly read what we wrote in the United States and Britain in prophecy. The real ancient history of Ireland is very extensive, though colored with some legend. But with the facts of biblical history and prophecy in mind, one can easily sift out the legend from the true history. In studying ancient Irish annals, Mr. Armstrong wrote, then in 569 BC, date of Jeremiah's transplanting, an elderly white-haired patriarch, sometimes referred to as a saint, came to Ireland. With him was the prince's daughter of an eastern king and companion called Simon Brake, spelled in different histories as Brake, Barak, Brock, or it's talking about Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe. The princess had a Hebrew named Tephi, and she became Queen Tephi, a pet name, her full name being Tia Tephi. This royal party included the son of the king of Ireland, who had been in Jerusalem at the time of the siege. There he had become acquainted with Tia Tephi. He married her shortly after 585 and when the city fell. And Jeremiah moved from Jerusalem to Ireland. And their young son, now about 12 years of age, accompanied them to Ireland. Besides the royal family, Jeremiah brought with them some remarkable things, including a harp, an ark, and a wonderful stone called Liophel, or Stone of Destiny, located today in Scotland. And the Queen Elizabeth was coronated over that stone. So was Tia Tephi, anciently. But let me read you a little more history which is rather ancient, and at the same time, it's somewhat recent. This is from a newspaper from New Zealand, Otago, and Otago Witness, September 24th, 1902. Now, that's the last century, but that was one of the most important papers in New Zealand at the time. And it was talking about a historian by the name of F.R.A. Glover, who was really one of the best Irish historians when it comes to talking about Jeremiah. And here's what that article said in that paper entitled The King's Pedigree. He sent Her Majesty a letter intimating the nature and result of his labors. That is, Glover sent the letter to Queen Victoria, who ruled over 60 years on that throne of David, or the throne that is in London, England today. And he said, in reply, he got what both surprised and delighted him. The Queen's answer was a most gracious letter. Now, he had direct contact with the Queen. The direct contact. The Queen's answer was a most gracious letter in which she acknowledged Mr. Glover's work and informed him that she was already in possession of the facts of which he had spoken concerning her ancestral line, and led him to believe that the facts were actually accepted as genuine by the royal family as true and authentic. Now, this lady died in 1901. So that's recent history. And she knew about Jeremiah and that throne in Ireland and the Ark of the Covenant and the harp and the stone of destiny over which she too was coronated. She knew about all of that history. Now, we don't hear much about that today, but we should. And we should be looking at it much more closely, because it can absolutely be proved. We're not talking about something that cannot be proved. But R.A. Glover was one of the best historians in Ireland, and especially when it came to talking about that throne of Tia Taffy and about Jeremiah's visit to Ireland or coming to Ireland. And that's all a mystery to this world. It's a mystery. But it shouldn't be. It's not a mystery to this church, and it hasn't been for well over 70 years. But Glover states that Queen Tia Taffy was buried in Tara Hill. Now, she was buried with the Ark, and that those the original two tables of stone, according to Glover, which means the Ten Commandments. Now, here is a quote from Glover's book, England, the Remnant of Judah, and Israel, the Israel of Ephraim, which is Britain, actually. And here's what he said, just a short quote I want to give you that is really stunning. And he's quoting another doctor, Dr. Hanan. He said, Tara, says Dr. Hanan, is almost pure Hebrew for Torah, which means law. That Tara Hill, that famous Tara Hill in Ireland, actually, Tara is what means law. And the original tables of the law were in the Ark, which, curiously enough, Irish history says is buried with Tia. Now, isn't that amazing history? Here are two tables of stone inside that Ark, written by the finger of God, according to this man, this historian, which are the same tables of stone that Moses himself had and went up the mountain and had God write them on those tables of stone, write the Ten Commandments. They were the original tablets, according to him, and they are buried with Tia Taffy, and he says she is buried on Tara Hill, or in Tara Hill, with the Ten Commandments, written by the very finger of God. Now, why don't we hear more about that history? I mean, it certainly is well known in Ireland. If anybody has looked into those times. It's well known there. Notice what it says in Exodus 32 in verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And those two tables of stone, written with the very finger of God. Do you think that might galvanize a lot of people in this world if it were to be found inside the ark, and the ark be found, and then the Ten Commandments inside on those two tables of stone, along with Aaron's rod, which is a symbol of the government to implement that law. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. And in verse 20, and he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Nobody's going to look on God's face and live. And it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 31 that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I mean, you can't even look on His face and live. Moses saw just a little sliver of Him, because you can't look on Him upon Him and live. Now I have written a book on Chronicles. And if you look at 1 Chronicles chapters 13 through 17, it discusses the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, we are talking about five chapters, key chapters in that book that is prophecy for this end time. And my booklet on Chronicles will prove that to you. And you should write for it and read it. It is profound and so inspiring. And it has five chapters on the Ark of the Covenant. You need to understand about that Ark of the Covenant, because after all, that was everything in the Old Testament. It was the symbol of God, and He spoke from that, and everybody in the nation looked to that throne, that Ark of the Covenant, which was a type of the throne of God. It was like a blueprint of what you see up in heaven when you see God and His throne. And that was just a type of His throne to show you the way it is up there and the way it's about to be here. The way it's about to be here. Why so much about the Ark of the God? Why should the Bible have so much about that Ark? Well, because of what it symbolized. But it's a key subject. If you look at verse 6 of 1 Chronicles 13, it talks about God dwelling between the cherubims. And if you see even in a dictionary of the Bible, they'll show you a picture of the Ark of the Covenant with those cherubims there with their wings outspread, covering the very throne of God. That's the way it is up in heaven. And many scriptures tell you that. And then also in 1 Chronicles, in this chapter 15, it says, talks about David wearing the robe of linen and all the singers being there with the linen on. They had these, that of course is a symbol of righteousness used in the New Testament many times, especially Revelation telling you that. And then there were the trumpets and the cornet and the cymbals and the dancing and all of that as they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem after it had been taken captive by the enemy. And then verse 37 talks about, this is 1 Chronicles 16, talks about the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren to minister before the Ark continually as every day's work required. So it's a daily activity. It's a daily work. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, the inner man is renewed day by day, every day. We have to keep renewing that inner man on our knees and studying our Bibles. And notice what God says in 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 4. Go and tell David, my servant, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me an house to dwell in. His son was going to do it. But God is talking about the ark as me. And then verse 5, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, and just going from tent to tent. God says, I dwell there because the ark was there. That's what he's talking about. He was talking about that, that ark is called the ark of God, the ark of the eternal, the ark of the God of Israel, the ark of the Lord of all the earth. So that ark is everything, and Israel really lamented once they lost that ark because the glory of God had departed from them. So think about this verse in Jeremiah 3 in verse 16, because God tells us that the ark is going to be found, and even tells us roughly, generally, where it's going to be found. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Request our two free books, The Book of Chronicles and Jeremiah and the Greatest Vision in the Bible, along with our free reprint article on Jeremiah and the Ark of the Covenant. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 16 contains exciting prophecy about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark has been the subject of numerous documentaries and movies, yet no one has found its location. But Jeremiah 3 indicates that the Ark will be found and visited before Christ's return. You need to understand how the Ark ties into the biblical books of Jeremiah and Chronicles. Our free literature will give you the history and prophecy concerning the Ark of the Covenant. Request our two free books, The Book of Chronicles and Jeremiah and the Greatest Vision in the Bible, along with our free reprint article on Jeremiah and the Ark of the Covenant. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. The Trumpet continues to help you understand your world by looking at today's most relevant headlines in light of Bible prophecy. Please visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily columns and videos. Don't miss our latest issue with Gerald Flurry's article, Why All These Scandals, which looks at the cause of the scandals affecting the United States today. All our literature is free. Order your free literature now. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.